Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Please pray for me in your seats as I try to deliver this teaching tonight. The enemy has just been attacking every second, almost every minute, up until even church starts. He never stops trying to hurt you and harm you. So we just ask an anointing on this message tonight. Father God, just use, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let the words of my mouth, Father God, let me speak truth, Father God. I come against the attack of the enemy, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father God, you will not, enemy, crush me. You will not harm me in any way. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Father, my daughter is healed. Everything is made right. Everything, every attack of the enemy, I rebuke in Jesus' name. The word is true. Let the word be true. The word of the Lord, and let God be true, and every man a liar. Tonight, we are going to, once again, we are going to visit the miracle of the man born blind. And this is one of my favorite miracles. We all know someone who is fighting to hold on to their sight. We all know someone who's physically blind, and we know plenty of people who are spiritually blind also. And so this is a favorite miracle, and I want to tell you that I love this miracle. It is found in the entire, it's in the a miracle that is in encompasses the entire 9th chapter of John, tells the complete story of this event. And I want to say something to you. Normally in the Bible, when there is something like this, an account, if it is a real story, there will be names of people, right? That's how you know. There will be specific names. But in this case, in a case of a parable, we know that parables don't have names. Jesus will say, and a certain man or a certain woman walked along a certain road. But in this case, this is not a parable, even though names are not mentioned. It is the blind man and his parents, they are mentioned. But here's how you can tell it's not a parable. Because Jesus would never make up a miracle, would he? Would he ever make up himself doing a miracle? He don't have to do that. So we know that this is a real account. So we're going to get into this miracle. I actually wanted to take a little side trip tonight and just share some information that maybe some of you have read this recently or seen this in the news. But this I thought was just really, really powerful. And from time to time and week to week, I'm going to be sharing some current events and some things, just some interesting facts and things that apply to the Bible in our lives. I did not know this until recently and I actually talked to my mom today. She comes from rattlesnake country, New Mexico. Okay, there's rattlesnakes. You have to watch for rattlesnakes. We know that there are many snakes throughout the world that are highly venomous, that are highly poisoned, and their bite will kill in a short time without you receiving anti-venom. But one of the things that we need to understand and know is that the anti-venom, and I'm guessing that some of you don't know this, that the anti-venom, if you are bit by a pit viper or you are bit by a rattlesnake, comes from sheep's blood. Comes from sheep's blood. It comes from lamb's blood that they used to create that. And a sheep, when bitten by a pit viper in South Africa, if a sheep or lamb is bitten, it will swell up, but it will not die. It will immediately know to drink water, drink water, drink water. It will not die. But think of how that applies spiritually. Think of how that applies. The sheep's blood is what they use to keep people alive that are bitten from a physical snake, a physical sheep's blood. How much more the blood of the lamb keeps us alive? And, you know, I was talking to my mom today, and I asked her, and she said her brother always told her that any horse or any cow that was ever bitten by a rattlesnake was never the same again. It was useless. It was never the same as before they got bit by the venom. We need the anti-venom. That's what we need. We need the blood of the lamb, just like they need the sheep's blood. And I thought this was so interesting because of the spiritual application. It's not that we don't get bit. We will not die. He cannot take our life, just like Job. The enemy cannot take our life because of the blood of the lamb. And I just thought that was such a powerful analogy that they you can see it so clearly that that's how we live. And it was just something that I loved. But there's so many miracles, but they're all about the cross and the blood of the lamb. And tonight we're studying this one in chapter 9 of John. And although we do not know the age of the man, and his parents are mentioned, and I like that their reaction to the miracle is mentioned also. We do not know that he is a very young man or a middle-aged man, but we do know that he is of an adult age, like 18. He's 18 and beyond. And we know this by the word of God, and also in the word of God is the testimony of his parents also. They say he's of age, so we have several witnesses. And if anyone knows about this son, it would be his parents. So I'm going to go ahead just a little bit and read to you a scripture tonight. John 9:23, this is the man's parents. Therefore his parents, now they were afraid of the Jews. They didn't want to be the ones having to answer this question. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. In other words, let him testify on his own behalf. When you're of age, you speak for yourself, right? When you become an adult, when you're younger, your parents are your authority. And anyone, if I'm asking about your child, Frida's minor child, I should ask her, not the child, okay? But when she becomes of age, I no longer ask Frida, I ask the child themselves, even though they are her child, because they're of age and can take responsibility for themselves. And the first verses of chapter 9 set the tone for what's about to take place. And this would be an amazing, by the way, powerful play, if anybody ever did this. And so as Jesus passed by, John 9:1, he saw a man which was blind, or who was blind is the correct translation. Somebody got it wrong in this translation. He saw a man who was blind from his birth. Now, there's two ways to look at that. I know this is crazy, but it's a Bible study, so I want to give you both ways. Which was blind from his birth. So there's two ways to look at this. He was either blind from the birth process as he was being born. He was blind from his birth. Or he was blind at the time of his birth. He was found to be blind. So it's one of the two. He was either born blind completely, just it happened. He came out blind. Or from the birthing process, something happened and caused the blindness. Which is, by the way, the popular theory that something happened. Accord, we know things happen. So regardless, he was blind at the time of his birth. So the first thing we see, which sounds funny, which we study, we see that Jesus sees what we cannot see. Jesus sees the man who cannot see. Jesus saw a blind man. The blind man never saw Jesus, obviously. Jesus saw the blind man. So Jesus sees us even if we can't see him. That's a spiritual and a physical application at times. He notices us. And more than he sees us, like, oh, I see Barb over there. He sees our condition. He sees what state of being we are in at the present time. And how interesting that the very next verse, after we see that Jesus sees the blind man, which I think is so beautiful that Jesus fixes his gaze on the blind man. It could have said Jesus saw a crowd and a blind man. No, he was looking at the blind man. He wasn't looking. There's other people around. Anytime you see this, get the whole picture. There's other people around, but Jesus sees the one in pain. That's the point. Jesus sees the blind man, the one who has the need. Jesus is looking on him. And so verse 2 says, and his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, you understand how foolish a question that is, right? Everybody understands this, that you're asking, did the man sin who was born blind? If you were that way at the time of your birth or due to your birth, it was not something that you caused at all. So why are you asking? Now, here's the situation that I found to be very interesting. We constantly hear the Pharisees doing things like this. Am I right? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, you see them trying to trap Jesus and asking these tricking questions. But the disciples, I mean, I thought you were followers of Christ. I thought you witnessed other miracles. And all you do, the first thing that come out of your mouth is you want to know who done it? I mean, what a stupid question. What kind of sin could he have? How utterly human, though, to see someone hurting, and before you even think about helping them, you want to figure out, should I? Maybe they did something wrong to cause this. Do they deserve help? Should I have compassion on them? Did they do something? You know, I mean, you need $10. What'd you do? What's the problem here? And they quickly try to figure out the situation, who's to blame. But I love Jesus' response, and it's a lesson we all need to remember. And verse 3 says, Jesus answered. He did respond to the foolish question. I like that, by the way. Neither has this man sinned, which he just stated the obvious. He could have went into it and said, you do know he was born blind, right? You know he was, this has been, he's been in this condition. He didn't say that. He said, no, neither did this man sin, nor his parent, but that the works of God should be made manifest to him. In other words, that you're going to see a miracle performed on his behalf in a few minutes. God allows things in our life, and he's going to get the glory. He's not finished with us yet. Your story's not over. That the works of Christ might be manifest in your life. And here's what he said. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes. While it is day, the night cometh soon. Night is coming soon. And that's a time when no man can work. How many of you work at night? Not many, right? You work during the day. Okay, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus tells them the truth. This man was not blind due to any personal sin. When you get sick, it does not mean that you sinned. When your neighbor gets sick, it does not mean that they sinned. No one deserves to be sick. If we're going to blame someone, why don't we blame the right person? Sickness comes from the pit of hell. Does it come sometimes as a result of sin? Yes, it does. But it comes from the pit of hell. The enemy tempts, we sin, something happens, of course. But Jesus comes to redeem us, to save us, to heal us, no matter what the situation. And this story shows you Jesus isn't looking to blame anyone. No one is to blame but the enemy. So he's telling them that God's work is going to be manifest in this man. And he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We live in a very dark world, don't we? We live in a very dark world. We need the light. Do we need these lights? No, we need Jesus, the light of the world, the bright and shining star. We need Jesus' light on every situation. The glory of God is the light of Christ. And so we want to remember that he is speaking to the disciples, but this is a real event. This is a real event. And I want to say tonight that Jesus will heal physical blindness, and he also heals spiritual blindness, because sometimes we have eyes to see, but we do not see. We have eyes to see, we have sight, but we have no vision. Now, some people are going to catch that and some people are not. I'm going to say it again. We have sight, but we have no vision. You know, some people can only see what's in front of their eyes, but they are not able in their situation to project what's going to happen in the future, to understand that I'm going to have regret about this someday. They're not able to have vision of the future. They only see what's in front of them. And so we need to understand that Jesus will heal our spiritual and our physical blindness. And at this point, Jesus, with the disciples, the interaction with the disciples, he has not yet addressed the blind man himself, which I like. It's kind of like, I've really got to I got to kind of take care of my disciples here. They're having a little trouble believing who I am. So I'm going to take care of them and address their question first. And then I'm going to get to the blind man. Are you really, seriously? Jesus probably is like, okay, I ain't got time for this. But he did. He took the time. So I want to say something as we continue. I want to make a statement. The formula for your miracle or for mine is not in how the miracle is done. It is in who does the miracle, who performs the miracle. It's not in how it happens. It's the who that matters. Not the how, not the when, not the where. It's the who when Jesus does a miracle. And we need to remember that. Even in giving our testimony, sometimes we want to say where it happened, when it happened, how it happened, and we kind of go easy on the who did this, which is Jesus, which is Jesus. And I love what Alan always says, give God the glory. When you tell the story, give God the glory. It's all about the who. It's not about the how, the when, the where, the why. It's about the who. And it's about, for you, it's about whose you are and who you belong to. So 9:6 says this, when he had thus spoken, this is Jesus, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto the blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And by the way, the word Siloam means sent. I'm sending you to a place. I'm sending you to a place called sent. In other words, I was sent here. I'm here at the pool because I was sent here by Jesus. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, there are many, many things in this verse that we need to learn. Number one, and I've shared this before, might as well share it again. It seems strange that he would spit on the ground. It seems strange that to the natural, if you read this story and you've never read the Bible in your entire life, and you see that Jesus, the healer, spit on the clay, and he made this kind of paste out of his own spit, and because that's not how all miracles were performed, by the way, and he put it, slathered it, by the way, it says he anointed the eyes. Now, when we anointed Sandra yesterday and when we anoint other people, we just kind of gently, I went in the office, put stuff on my hands, and we came out and anointed her. Anointing is like a salve. When we really anoint somebody, it's called smearing. It's called smearing if you look in the text. And what Jesus did was, when I say he anointed it, his eyes, he did it good. He did it good. We are talking like open your eyes and this stuff is all in your eyes. He put salve that he made out of his own spit and then said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Why'd you put it on me if you wanted me to go wash it off me? Okay, I'm not understanding that. If it's going to heal me, I don't put on salve on my eyes and then go wash it off, do I? Do you do that? You put eye drops in your eyes and then go wash it out? Not normally. No, you don't. I'll help you answer that. You do not. And so he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, sent, I'm sending you somewhere. And when he went his way and washed, he came seeing. He began to see. And so this is the situation. You know, many, many years ago, and you know this already, most of you, I asked the Lord, I said, I really am troubled by that spit thing, because spit in your mouth has tons of bacteria. I mean, tons of it. A dog can lick you and have less bacteria than another human. If a human bites you versus a dog bites you, you got more bacteria from the human bite than you do from the dog bite. You can Google that and look it up. But it's the truth. But so you have, so you don't want, you know, your little kids bite you, you know. That's just the way it was. Sandra was a biter. She used to bite candy. She may know more about that than anybody, but she was a biter. But you don't want a little kid to bite you, okay? You would rather have the dog, you know, because if you don't want the bacteria. However, when I was asking God, I'm just like, this kind of seems like a nasty thing to do, to be just real blunt and real honest with you, Lord. And this is what the Lord said. Spit in a human is filled with sin and filled with bacteria and filled with poison. Spit from Jesus Christ is living water. It is living water, and it is healing. Everything about Jesus is healing. Everything. So this was powerful. What he did from his body, he put this on the man. But here we have the second the second part, and Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How many of you think that he would have received his miracle just by the salve on his eyes? I feel like he would have probably received a half miracle, you know, because Jesus does nothing by accident. But he wouldn't have received his wholeness, and he wouldn't have been able to retain that miracle or hold on to that miracle, what I believe in my heart, if he had not been obedient to the word of God. Okay, because Jesus is the living word, you know that. So he is the living word of God, and we must obey the word of God. Obedience is a key to receiving our miracle, not in the miracle being available to us, but in us receiving our miracle. I do not believe his eyes would have been fully open. He would have had full sight. I do not believe he would have been completely whole had he not been obedient, because Jesus didn't tell him, may I kindly suggest you now go wash that off in that pool of Siloam. He would not have received all that was available to him without obedience. You will never receive all that's available to you without 100% obedience to the best of your ability to the word of God, to the word of God. So if you're disobedient in any area of your life, you really need to, and I'm not saying we get into legalism, oh, I forgot to do this or that. To the best of your ability, be obedient, because that helps you receive your miracle. So he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He did not ask him, would you like to, possibly you should do this, but he told him it was a command, and we must obey the commands of God. And if you notice, the Bible never said he went seeing until after. It says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He never came seeing fully until he had washed in the pool of Siloam, as he was instructed by Christ to do. Now, that's a message on obeying the instructions of Jesus Christ and the instructions of the world. And I believe right now there are people who are in rebellion to God through disobedience to the word of God, and they need miracles, but they will not be able to receive miracles. We don't receive a miracle just because we need one, because the whole world needs miracles. They will not receive them. You receive them through Christ, the miracle worker. There's nobody else who is the way maker, pain taker, miracle worker, but Jesus. So I think this is kind of funny. This next part is 9:8 says, the neighbors, therefore, you always want to get the neighbors where they can see. Get the neighbors involved. Come on, neighbors. Watch this. And they which before had seen him and knew that he was blind said, isn't he the guy who sat and begged? Isn't he the guy who sat and begged? Verse 9. Some said, there was a few people standing around that said, this is him, all right. This is him. But others said, it's someone like him. But he said, it's me, it's me. Some said, this is he. Others said, it is someone like him. But he said, oh, I am he. That's his exact words, I am he. How amazing that there were actual neighbors and people that were witness to the fact that the man had been blind since the time he had been born, that he could not work, that they actually knew he doesn't have a job. He begs because he's blind. And there were these people who knew it was him, and some who said it looked like him, but the conclusion was, out of his own mouth, it's me. He verified his own identity. Now, I was sharing something yesterday with a group of people, some of you in this church, that one of the reasons that the Bible says that you call for the elders of the church and you anoint the person with oil and you lay hands on them, you pray the prayer of faith, and they will recover. There is a reason for that, and this is one of the many reasons, but let me give you the most important reason. The most important reason is, well, there's several. Let's go through several. One, the person who is sick is coming to Christ. One, they are calling on Christ through the authority of Christ, the elders of the church. And you seen yesterday, you seen Giovanni Soto come up, you seen Alan Ferlin, you seen Pastor Ken, you seen myself, and you seen Debbie Ramos. The elders of this church, the five elders of this church came forward, and you all joined your agreement with that miracle to take place. And so we bring the person up, and everyone sees, because they're acknowledging, I have an affliction, I need prayer, I'm coming to Jesus. And then when they testify, people go, that's them, that's them. It's a witness, it's your eyewitness. It's the same reason we get baptized publicly. It's the same reason we make a public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ, so that others will witness it and can see what Christ is doing in our life and can see what Christ is doing through us in our lives. So these people, and so he admitted that he was the one that used to beg, and people had questions for this man because they want to know. So therefore, they said unto him, how were your eyes open? Now, remember I said the how is not really important. I mean, if you were standing around, you seen that Jesus put the mud on, said go to Siloam, and he was healing. But the how is not important. But, you know, it is a very valid question. People do ask it. How did you receive your miracle, Frida? Can you tell me how? You know why someone would ask that? Because they need a miracle too. They need to know how. They need that miracle. And so, but he answered and said in verse 11, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He told it exactly what happened. And I went, I was obedient, I did go. And I received my sight. I love that. A man that is called Jesus. Now we're talking not about the how, are we, anymore. Now this man has successfully turned it into the who. The who, not the how. It always has, if you're giving your testimony, I don't want you to tell how. I did. Tell more about the who than you do the how. A man that is called Jesus. How powerful is that? And verse 12 said, then they said unto him, where is he? If you tell them who it is, they're going to want to know, how can I get to Jesus? Where is he? Where is he? And he said, I don't know. I don't know. Our miracle will cause people to want to know about Jesus. And they will want to find out where he's at. How can I know him? Where is he at? So after questioning the man that was formerly blind, we can clearly see the people take him to the Pharisees, and interestingly, it was on the Sabbath. Okay, Jesus, you know about the Sabbath, right? You understand about the Sabbath, Jesus, and this is the Lord's day. Now, you know, Jesus, this is the Lord's day. Honor the Lord's day. How can it be? Let me ask you a question. You're a great class. They honored the Lord's day. How can that be? But not the Lord who was right in front of them. Is there not something wrong with that? I come to church, I honor the Lord's day, but I don't honor the Lord. Do you know how often that is played out in the lives of people? That I honor the Lord's day, but not the Lord himself. I come to church, I have no relationship at all with God. This is what religion, Pharisees, will do to you. This is what religion does to people. Over and over, go in, but not, you know the Bible. Many people know the Bible, but not the author of the Bible. They don't know the God of the Bible. They know about God in the Bible, but they don't know God themselves in relationship. So the Pharisees asked questions, and they were not happy, right, that Jesus performed this miracle on the Sabbath. But let me tell you something else about your life. When you receive your miracle, or when you receive your blessing from the Lord, everyone's not going to be happy for you. Have you ever got that memo at all? How did she get healed? Why is God blessing her? Many people are not happy when you receive your miracle. Get used to it. Get over yourself. As long as Jesus has done it for you, keep telling your story. You keep telling them, who did this? Jesus Christ did this for me. Jesus Christ. There are people who are going to make it their business to try to discount what God has done in your life. They are. They're going to remind you of your past. They're going to tell you, I don't believe what God is doing in your life. They're going to doubt that you really got healed. They're going to try to explain the miracle away. But I'm going to tell you something. When God touches your life, there's nobody that can talk you out of that. And experience, your experience will stay with you forever. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is holy ground here, by the way. This is holy ground. You are not here by mistake. When I received the baptism over there by that pole, I can tell you, you can tell me all day long that was your imagination, that never happened. You will never talk me out of that because I have never felt that way in my entire life since that time. I've had other experiences, but that was unique. That's a unique experience, and you will have those. So his testimony was sure, and he was hanging on to his testimony. And the Pharisees were trying to say, Jesus isn't even a man of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. You know what? If you make the rules, you can break the rules. If you make the rule, if it's your house and you make a rule, there's no clothes on the floor, you can break the rule. That's because you're the authority. Same thing with Jesus. He won't break his word, but he can change things. He can alter things. So this man is not a man of God, they said. And so others said, how can a man that is a sinner, though, do such miracles? So now there's a division in them. There's an argument. You know, let them all, let the haters, let the naysayers all argue about what's happening in your life while you're over here telling your testimony. Because you know what? That's a religious spirit. They can't even agree among themselves what's right and what's wrong. You just agree with the word. 9:17 says, then they say to the blind man, what sayest you about him that he opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. Kind of funny. The blind man from birth had never before met Jesus. This is his first encounter. He wasn't seeking Jesus. He wasn't calling on Jesus. Nothing like that that we know of. And he hardly knew what to say. He didn't even know really what to call Jesus. What kind of position? What? Is he a pastor? Is he a teacher? Well, I think he's a prophet. All he knew is, I was blind and now I'm not. I did what the man told me. His name is Jesus. He knew his name. He knew nothing else. And this man was put on the spot, but he did nothing wrong. So they decided that they just plainly didn't believe the blind man. They refused to believe that he had been blind and then healed. So they did something that backfired on them terribly. They called for his parents. They called for backup. Surely the parents will go, oh, he's kind of maybe kind of needed glasses, maybe a little bit. But they go to get his parents, and the parents are very nervous, by the way. They didn't want to answer these questions. They felt like they were on trial. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? They're asking the parents, you say he was born blind. Well, how come he sees now? They're probably, like, terrified. Like, we don't know. What are we supposed to say? What's the right answer? Someone had asked my brother a question about cereal or what kind of cereal he liked, and he said, what should I like? I'm like, okay, that's funny. That's funny. But that's, you know, this is the same thing. What should I say? He was blind. He's not. You know, think about that. You know, sometimes you're in that situation. You don't really know what they want to hear from you. What is the right answer here? But verse 21 says, but by what means does he see now? We don't know, the parents. Or who opened his eyes? We don't know, but he's of age. Ask him and he can speak for himself. They were trying to get out of this. And you know why? Because religion strikes fear in the hearts of people. And so they called again the formerly blind man and said, give God the praise, for we know that this man is a sinner. We just want you to say that God did and the man sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I just don't even know. He literally didn't know if Jesus was like some sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. I just know that I was blind and now I see. What a pure-hearted testimony. I don't know. But I bet you one thing, I guarantee you one thing, he wants to find out. I don't know who drugged me out of the fire. I was in a burning building last night. And I was, some man, his name was John, I think, he drugged me out of the building. I don't know much about him at all. but I'm probably going to find out. I'm probably going to want a relationship with him who helped me, right, who saved me. And that's the way this man was. But they're furious. The Pharisees get furious about them. And so the man, the blind man, formerly blind man, who now sees, I think this kind of adds to the testimony. In verse 27, he answered them, and they were asking again and again. And he answered them, and he said, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Are you deaf? I told you already. He was kind of getting exasperated with them. So you want to hear it again? Wherefore would you hear it again? You want to hear my testimony one more time? You know, isn't that kind of cool when the devil, you know, kind of, I told you already, but I'll say it again. Jesus healed me. If you want to hear that I was healed of cancer again, okay, let's go. And then he says something that really, really got to them. He said, would you like to be one of his disciples too? Mr. Pharisee, would you like that? Because I can make that happen. We'll find him. They were furious. They were just livid. Like, what are you talking about? But this really is funny. Do you want to become a disciple of Jesus? Now they're openly angry in 28. But they reviled, rebuked, ridiculed, made fun of him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. The man in verse 30 asked the Pharisees, why, this is a marvelous thing. It is a good thing. And how can it be that you don't know where he comes from? It just gets better and better. As this blind man says, I just don't understand how you don't know where he comes from. How don't you know this stuff? You know, you guys are Pharisees. You don't know this stuff? I know that he opened my eyes, but you guys don't know this stuff? You got to hear the testimony again, and maybe you want to be one of his disciples. And he's an excellent witness, by the way. This guy is, he's excellent at giving his testimony, because as they begin interrogating him, he quickly turns the tables, and now he's asking the tough questions. You know, isn't that something when the enemy starts firing questions at you, and you can turn it on him and go, oh, what about you? What about that? You know, no, it gets better and better. So verse 31, now we know that God heareth not a sinner, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. In other words, this has never been done before. And if he's not of God, he absolutely could not do this. And you know what? That's true. And you know what else? He was boldly telling them. It was slam dunk testimony that time. And they are insulted. And verse 34 says, they answered and said to him, you were altogether born in sin. You're a sinner. And you teach us? And they're questioning him, you dare teach us? And they cast him out. Here's what the situation is as our music team comes. They could not stand to hear any more from this guy. He is giving his testimonies. I'm going to give it again. You want me to give it again? I'll give it again. You want me to say this again? It's never been done. Just so you know, he has to be God. He can't be anybody else. You guys can't do this. I can't do this. And Jesus heard that they cast him out, and he found the man, and Jesus asked, do you believe on the Son of God? The man answered, who is the Lord that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast born both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. As our praise team comes, Annie, you guys. And he said, Lord, I believe. He worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might see, and they that which see might be made blind. Then Jesus informed the Pharisees that claimed to see things so well that their sin remained in them. He's telling them. He's informing them. He's letting them know. But this miracle is so powerful, because here's something I believe. I believe that blinded eyes are still being opened today. I believe that Jesus can still open blinded eyes. I'm still believing for Tony. I'm still believing for Pastor Ken. I'm still believing for my 95-year-old mother who is blind. I am still believing in that Jesus, the man called Jesus that opens blinded eyes, can, if he did it once, he can and he will do it again. So whatever your miracle, let's stand tonight and worship him. The worship here is just so amazing and so anointed. I just feel like miracles take place as we worship. They will, eyes will be open, deaf ears. Things will happen in your body and in your spirit, even that we're not aware of.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.